back, WNST, Tessa Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I am positively out on the road. I'm not in Baltimore. I'm actually in Salisbury right now doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, all presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation and the Restaurant Association of Maryland, where I've been eating and dining. Restaurant Week is September 16th to the 25th. My next guest is the defending champion of all things Restaurant Week, and he's been away. We haven't been together much. I've been doing a crab cake tour. At some point, I'll get him out to have crab cake, and I know all these breweries I'm going to as well. Don Moeller joins us, former Baltimore County executive. Of course, you can follow him out at Baltimore Positive as well. You've been a little more quiet here this summer, sending me down to Ocean City for Mako.
Look at you.
Running all over the state of Maryland, but it's good to see you. How you doing?
Things are great. Things are great. You are, I said, you're setting a new bar for the crab cake tour and visiting breweries. You, is there a part, you know, Nestor, I didn't ask you this when we were together last week. Now, after 2 years of the crab cake tour, is there a part of the state that you have not seen, or have you pretty much covered the entire state now?
I have not been to Rock Hall.
Okay.
So I've been to Chesapeake City, and I've been down the Eastern Shore side. I had never been to Chestertown. Now I haven't been back. Southern Maryland's a place I only went once last year, so I'd say it. But we, you know, Southern Maryland has like a tip, right? So you can really explore a lot of it by going down it one way and back another way. So I feel like I saw a lot of Southern Maryland. It was a rainy couple of days we were there last year, so it wasn't like the best entree for Southern Maryland. But along the Eastern Shore, I'm going back to Suicide Bridge today and getting my, you ready for this, Don? My third crab cake at Suicide Bridge. So when people ask me where the good crab cakes are, you should pay attention to the ones I'm eating more than once.
Well, I know you were a fan of the Suicide Bridge crab cake. What makes that crab cake so special, Nestor?
It's fresh. And in August, it's going to come right off a boat. The meat in the crab never went in a can. It never went, you know, it's just really fresh.
Well, you know, we're assuming, wait a minute, tell folks where Suicide Bridge is, because last year you didn't know. So tell them where Suicide Bridge is.
If you've seen a sign when you get around Cambridge, when you cross the bridge to come into Cambridge, to the north, to the left side, you'll start seeing signs, Hurlock, like the actress, H-U-R-L-O-C-K, Hurlock, Maryland. That's where it is. So it's about 12 miles north of Cambridge. If you were going more north up toward Chestertown, if you're going in that direction, that's where it is.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, listen, speaking of crab cakes, I don't know if you saw on my social media page, but there has been an exciting development in Fadley's Catonsville, which will be called the Fishmonger's Daughter. Now, you and I happen to know the Fishmonger's Daughter. Who might that be?
You know, I didn't even know that that fishing had mongering until my buddy my buddy Tommy up at Nick's Grill said he was a fishmonger. I'm like,
fishmonger.
Man, I just learned about cheesemongers, you know? I'm going to have to talk to Damie Hahn about that. You know, Damie's name came up because I'm down here, a bunch of electeds, people all over the state are asking me about crab cakes. And there are people who aren't from Baltimore, right? Like so Carl Anderton is a delegate who did my show with Mayor Jake Day from Salisbury this week. And he's a big Baltimore sports fan. But he's a shore boy. His nickname is Cornbread, okay?
Well, so hey, that's a shore boy.
Yeah, he's Cornbread, his nickname. So he's not like a Baltimore guy. He's in Annapolis a lot now because he's a delegate. And, you know, guys like that, they haven't spent time in Baltimore in the way that the Fadley's Crab Cake or Lexington Market. They've never been to Lexington Market. They've never had a Fadley's Crab Cake. And they wanted to know what's different about it, what's special about it. Because people ask me that about all the – you asked me what made Suicide Bridge so good. It's probably the freshness of the meat in addition to the slurry, which is delicious. Just sweet, fresh. I'll let you know I'm having another one today.
Yeah.
So I'll let you know if it's as good as I remember.
I want to see. Well, back to our
but the Fadley's cake is mustardy, right? So, and it's uniquely mustardy. There's no other crab cake that you'll get that's anything like a Fadley's crab cake. And not just that, they're using Maryland meat, they're true blue. So you have that sweetness and the freshness and the mustard. That's Fadley's.
And I think Nancy Devine gave you and I, well, I think she gave us one of the great tips of all time with crab cake. And it was new to me at the time. And now I'm a devotee. And that is that you eat them sort of lukewarm. You don't eat them piping hot. And I thought, I can remember coming home and telling Linda that, and it was like, wow. And I think that really elevates the taste of the crab. I mean, you probably so crabbed out at this point.
No. I had that conversation. I had that conversation with Mike Daly, who is the general manager of a beautiful place I was at in Salisbury called Mogan's Oyster House. And he brought the crab cake out, and the mayor was with me, and the secretary of kindness was with me. She's great too. You got to watch that segment. But they brought me the crab cake, and it was a really Gucci crab cake. It was served on like summer squash and sort of this stew at the bottom of it. Was really, really unique. Summer tomatoes, the whole deal. And he brought it out to me, and he's like, hurry up and eat that. That's going to get cold. And I'm like, no. Let me explain this to you.
Yeah.
So I did a segment. So if you hear it on the radio at AM 1570 this week, it is there. Don Moeller is our guest. This is the recon. We have not reconned a whole lot this summer. And crab cakes, beer, baseball, the Ravens, we got all that. But
And I've got an exciting Fadley's update from this week.
Give it to me.
As I posted, if you drive down Frederick Road right now, and you'll remember, you're familiar with the building that the modern era people, where the new Fadley's will be, the fishmonger's daughter, people have known it for years as Plymouth Wallpaper. People came from all over the state to really this wallpaper warehouse that was there. And years ago, and then in previous incantations, those folks that are around my age remember a Heidelbach grocery store, one of the old-fashioned grocery stores that was in the middle of Catonsville. And there was a structure that had served for several different purposes over the years. It was not part of the historical structure. And this week, that structure came down, and the building has been reduced to its original footprint. Nestor, jump on my page. It's stunning. And I know Bill and Nancy and Julia and Keith and Damie, they're thrilled. It looks beautiful, and you really get a sense that there is momentum. So I think it is pretty safe to say that on next year's crab cake tour, you will be sitting on Frederick Road in Fadley's talking about the fishmonger's daughter crab cake. So that's,
I don't know if I'm doing a crab cake diet. It's literally Rocky III. Ain't gonna be no rematch. Ain't gonna be
right. You're going out on top.
Bourbon and oysters next year. Yeah, I'm not
or
sure.
Or the best burger in the state, man. You can burger yourself out. Meanwhile, you're down at one of our favorite places. Here's the question. If I say this, everyone will know where you are. Have you had Thrasher's French fries yet?
I have not. No, I walk past Thrasher's. I did walk on the boardwalk. You know, it's been a year. I've been a little wistful because Batman died a couple months ago. And I walked.
That bring it all home, huh?
Yeah, I walked into Fager's Island last night, and he wasn't there. And I remember the last time I hugged him, stood in that spot. I put a little post up. So we're going to honor him. We're going to Longboard Cafe in Ocean City on Friday. That was his favorite restaurant. We're going to honor him and have crab cake there and grab a beer at Cinepuxen. But I love Ocean City. It's great coming down. I haven't been down all summer. Coming back, I'm actually going back for Best of Baltimore on Thursday night and back with my wife on Friday. So my wife and I will be in Ocean City on Friday and Saturday this weekend. So the crab cake tour is a family affair. Wait, you know, we spent some time with Coach Tomlin last week in Latrobe, and we've been all over the state, man.
I got to give you props. You picked on our girl, Max Weiss, Max the girl. Somehow, Baltimore Positive, having won before, we got edged out this year, and you told Max, we didn't win this year.
Well, what I told her was, I didn't get an invite to the party. You won last year and didn't even get an invite to the party. So that's where I got off. So, you know, I got VIP. I'm okay. I'll be in an air-conditioned comfort. I won't be eating the crab cake off the buffet.
No one will ever take our trophy away from us as Baltimore's best podcast a year ago. Hey, listen, this thing broke right when I was about to head out to Alaska. And you would have been my go-to to try to make sense of what appears to me to be total madness, Nestor. And it has to do with Ticketmaster and Bruce Tickets. And when I saw tickets were selling for thousands of dollars minutes after they opened up, I'm with my brother and my sister-in-law and Linda on this Alaskan tour, and we're all trying to say, what is happening and who buys them at that price? And so for the dummies of us out here, educate us on what happens with tickets like that.
Well, I did a huge segment with Marty Conway, who explained it at length. So
I will go listen
to Marty Conway. It's surge pricing. Like when you go to get an Uber in the rain and you're like, how can the $12 ride be $38? Well, you're getting wet. And if you want to pay $38, you'll do it. Springsteen got in on this with Ticketmaster. It is their standard practice, so to speak. Look, the Ticketmaster thing, if there's anything, and I think there's all sort of illicit stuff going on in the NFL that Congress needs to look at. Congress is trying to put a criminal in prison right now, right? And Liz Cheney can't get elected. But the Ticketmaster is something that I know the state of New Jersey got a little upset because of Springsteen a couple weeks ago that this happened in regard to Springsteen. But this is a standard practice of Ticketmaster to what you and I would say, scalp your own tickets, well, right? When the surge demand happened, the pricing went to a level like Uber that would say, you want the Uber for $50? Here it is. I know it's a $15 ride, but you have to get there. Here it is. So when these tickets were popping up for $1,500, $2,000, $2,500 on this surge thing, Springsteen had the ability to not have that happen. And once it happened the first week,
wait a minute, educate us now. How would Bruce have made that not happen himself?
He's in control of his brand. I mean, he really is. He and John Landau checked off on all of this. I mean, listen, I could go all night. If you really want to know about the Springsteen thing, follow Spring Nuts out on Twitter. Follow any of the hardcore Springsteen people that have been with him a lifetime. He really damaged his brand.
Was this thing new for a Springsteen concert? Was this like the first time this had happened?
Well, I mean, if you've been a Bruce fan, you've been scalped, right? I mean, like it's all part. They were scalping Bruce Springsteen tickets in the 80s, right? So this is a 40-year-old problem. The issue is Ticketmaster says we're going to do this verified fan thing. We're going to randomly select people who get the code. I did not get the code. And then you get the code and you feel like, oh, I got the code. So the tickets are going to be what? 200 in the back, 800 in the front, 500 in the middle, right? I mean, kind of that's what you're expecting in an arena, I think, right? Maybe some people are sticker shocked. So even on that, knowing that like if a good ticket popped up, it was going to be $500. Like I sort of knew that. And a bad ticket popped up, it was going to be $200. I sort of knew that. This isn't what that was. This was tickets showing up at $1,600, $1,800, $2,200 that were based on the amount of people that were in the portal demanding the tickets. And people were like, well, how can that be? We already went through verified fan is bullshit. Everybody knows that. And everything they do, and Ticketmaster, they're like the wizard, right? It all happens behind the curtain. Nobody really understands these fees. Nobody really understands. Don, I was, you don't want to get me started on tickets, bro. I was at Burley Oak Brewery on Saturday afternoon, having a quick beer before I went to Crabs to Go. I'm on this phone. I'm at the bar. I ordered a little lager, a little 5-ounce lager. And a friend of mine who's a waitress at Greenmount Station, so I'll give Michelle a shout out. She's a huge music fan. She travels the world. She's crazy music fan. Loves U2, loves Pearl Jam, loves the same music I love. Taylor Hawkins, you're familiar with Taylor Hawkins now, right? Your yes. Son-in-law. They're doing a tribute concert for Taylor Hawkins in LA at the Forum on September 27th, Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson are coming. Like it's something that if I got a ticket, I try to figure out how to get to LA. It's a Tuesday night. So in middle of the week, I don't miss a Ravens game. So, the tickets, she's like, they just drop tickets. Dropping tickets means they're dropping tickets at Ticketmaster prices, right? So they dropped tickets and I went on and I got my code. There were six people in line in front of me. I went in. I was at this brewery for 30 minutes. All 30 minutes I was there. I'm refreshing. It's showing me tickets. It's showing me a single ticket for $99. It's showing me a single ticket for $218. It showed me a single ticket for $159. It showed me a resale ticket for $178. And I kept clicking. And like, it's a joke. The ticket doesn't, someone else beat you to that ticket. Well, then why'd you put it here in front of me?
Right.
Like you're a computer. Somebody else should. So you could take me down that. I wasted a half. I did not get a ticket. At one point I had a ticket on my screen. It was priced. It was processing. And then it stopped and I didn't get the ticket.
Now, I think there's not, it's really interesting. It is, and we'll move on.
Well, manpower hours that humans waste
right
trying to get a ticket. It's you know what it is? It's F Bruce Springsteen. It becomes F him. I'm not going. If the Orioles or the Ravens put up this kind of, nobody would go to the games.
Yeah, no, it is interesting. And it is one of the things that left, right, middle, it is one of the things, it is one of the few things anymore. And that'll be a transition.
Well, it's a mafia. On. You know, I mean, you want the tickets.
It just feels wrong.
Yeah, it is wrong.
And it feels wrong.
It is wrong.
So almost makes you yearn.
And they'll do wrong until the government makes them do right. We wonder why we need a government. This is why we need a government.
I mean, the difference is, Nestor, and even though you're not as old as I am, you will remember, it almost makes you yearn for the dark days of when you had to go stand in line, right?
Camp out. Yeah,
camp out. But at least you knew you'd get a ticket, and you'd get a ticket at a reasonable price. So crazy. Meanwhile, you mentioned in your discussion there, Liz Cheney, as we're on the air, Liz recently lost. And again, as I predicted, along with others, it wasn't that I was clairvoyant. I told you last week I thought she would lose between 35 and 40 points. I think it was about 40.
That's astonishing. That is an astonishing thing that she lost by 40 points.
Well, I thought the astonishing thing was, I thought, I don't know if you've been so busy. I don't know if you saw her press conference, but she began by saying something that I think all Americans should pay attention to. And that is, she said, 2 years ago, I won this primary with 73% of the vote. She said, there is no doubt that I could have won this primary again today with 73% of the vote, but that would have required me to sign on to the big lie, which I know is a lie, and turn my back on the Constitution. And I wasn't willing to do that. So this woman, who, if you look at her congressional record, voted with Donald Trump. Think about this, Nestor. 92% of the time. Liz Cheney is as big of a conservative with a small C as you will find in the United States of America.
She loves waterboarding.
Right. Really? I mean, she and I don't agree
on much.
I don't know that we agree hardly on anything before the fact that we agree that
Donald Trump's a criminal. We can all agree on that. Every American should agree on Donald Trump being a criminal. There should be no problem with that.
Right. And the big lie is a bunch of hooey. So I love your term, remarkable. I think you said remarkable, astonishing, that the litmus test for Republicans is not whether you have a loyalty to the law, not whether you have a loyalty to the United States. It's fascinating, Nestor. I was watching on a recent day, Joe Scarborough was talking. He was pretty despondent. He was talking about a couple of conversations he had had recently with longtime friends. He said folks he grew up with, very well respected. One of them he described as a thought leader in conservative thinking across the country. And this thought leader has totally bought into the big lie, totally bought into the fact that the FBI was out to get Donald Trump, and said to Scarborough, you know, our government is not irreplaceable. There's no reason why we have to have this form of government that we have. So it really is fascinating what is happening, right, to this 25, 30, 35% of this fringe right that has now infected mainstream Republicans. I don't know if you saw this morning.
Well, mainstream Republicans can't win. Larry Hogan would not have won.
No.
The Republican, I mean, I saw him at the party right before last. I mean, Larry Hogan could not win an election in Maryland right now. Not his own primary, let alone a general.
Not his primary. He might be able to win a general because, remember, Governor Hogan's poll numbers one of the magics, I always say he had the magic sauce. I was not a fan of the way he governed, and I'll give an example of that.
I don't know, but you believe some myths. I mean, you thought Peter Franchot was the most popular candidate in the state 2 years ago, and you know.
I think I had that race nailed pretty much from Jump Street.
But
I think
3 years ago, you said to me, Peter Franchot is the most popular.
No. I said he was. Yes, I said at that point, most well-known, and because of the way he had conducted himself, traveling the state, giving out gold coins and what have you.
Didn't mean anything.
Was extremely
popular. Time to vote for
well,
him.
But early on, I told you that the warning sign for the Franchot campaign was that in poll after poll, he hovered around 20. And I kept telling you that someone with Peter Franchot's name recognition, who had been in office 40 years, his inability to break 20%. And then the final clue to what was going to happen to the Franchot campaign was when I saw the final fundraising numbers come out, and he had a total of 700 donors. And I did a double take. I thought, I wonder if that's a misprint. I wonder if that means 7,000. And I read it again, and I confirmed it with people. It was 700 voters. So he had very, very little support.
But I'm saying it happens quickly. It happens quickly.
And your take that I think your bigger take is that
the take was that if you love Larry, 12, you would vote for Kelly, and it didn't work that way.
Right. And 10 of the 12 Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump will no longer be in office. It is no longer a party of conservatism. I started to tell you that there was it's really fascinating to watch how this stuff morphs, right? So the other day, in the wake of the Inflation Act, Inflation Reduction Act, it's polling very popularly. People, obviously, I mean, your wife's diabetic. You've talked about it a lot. When you start putting a cap for Medicare recipients, at least, on insulin at $35, and Democrats tried to do it for the entire nation, but Republicans wouldn't let them do it. But when you cap senior citizens, and you'll be there before long, out-of-pocket pharmacy expenses at $2,000, you're making a real difference in people's lives. That's not something that people have trouble understanding. It's like, oh,
and that doesn't help black people or white people or left people or right people. That's everybody.
Everybody. All of a sudden, my grandma and my grandpa and my auntie and my uncle all of a sudden
aren't spending the last years of their life worried about money like my mother.
Whether they have to buy food or prescription.
My parents, you know, both of them in Dundalk, the end of their lives, whether it was dementia, we're always concerned about money. At that, you know, being 70 and 80, it's bad enough being 50 and being concerned about money, right?
So think of the difference this would have made in their life. So Republicans recognize that.
But do they? I mean, Chuck Grassley's out in front of his old boots in Iowa. All of them voted against it. And now they're going to go out and campaign and say, I screwed up your Medicare. Vote for me.
Well, let's talk about Grassley. Because, yes, now he's flip-flopped again. He's saying, oh, I really was for that. See, they don't know. Here's the problem, Nestor. Grassley is a great example. It's almost like they're tied up in this rubber band. They have emboldened this 25 to 35% of the truly insane right, the Alex Jones InfoWar crowd. And they, as I said repeatedly, they can't figure out, because they're on the wrong side of so many issues that are mainstream, how to get to any kind of electoral win without the crazies. So therefore, that was the example I was going to use. This week on the far right, the Alex Jones types, they start saying, because one of the provisions in the Inflation Reduction Act is to increase the number of IRS agents to begin to make sure, really focused on the very wealthy again, to cut down on their use of loopholes and to collect the tax revenue that should be rightfully going to the government to fund a number of these programs. So what the far right started to say was they're going to be 87,000 more IRS agents, and they're going to have AR-14s, and they're coming into your house locked and loaded. Now, 20 years ago, had someone said that, even mainstream Republicans would have said that, guys, that's nonsense. The IRS agents are going to be coat and ties, you know, women in work attire, sitting at desk, going over tax returns. They're not coming into your house with an AR-14. But this week, 20 years later, what did we have? We have Ted Cruz. We have Marco Rubio. We have Chuck Grassley. We have Kevin McCarthy all saying the IRS agents are coming after you with an AR-14. It's inexplicable. And you know what, Nestor? It is really, really dangerous. I mean, really dangerous. And you and I talk about
lies always are, right? Lies are dangerous.
Somebody is going to get killed. That gentleman that went into the FBI building a week or two ago easily could have killed somebody. Someone now is going to kill an IRS agent. And these Republicans will be saying it's so horrible. Thoughts? No, guys, stop it now. Now, Mike Pence, again, trying to read the tea leaves, because I don't give Mike Pence much credit. He knows he doesn't have much of a lane either. And he knows Trump has and DeSantis have sucked up 100% crazy lane. You know, they're coming at you with AR.
Well, Larry Hogan thinks he's running for president, yeah. Right?
And Liz Cheney. Now, what Larry Hogan and Liz Cheney may do is they may shine such a light on Donald Trump if he's not in jail. And I think you and I at this point, you know, I've come full circle. I was always cautious about putting a former president in jail. You were always more adamant, like my wife was. Guy broke the law, put him in jail. I've come full circle, and I think it's time for him to go to jail. It's so clear to me that he's broken so many laws that it's not even funny. So Cheney and Hogan, I think their mission will be to see if they can shine enough light on a Donald Trump to make moderates 20% of the Republican Party, because that's all it would take. I mean, and that's, I think, what the polls show, that they're about 70% that still support him. So there's 20 to 30% who say, listen, I've been a conservative Republican all my life. This is a little too crazy for me, right? It's like Hogan referring to Dan Cox as a QAnon whack job. I mean, we got two crazy people running in Maryland for
Barry Glassman's going to have some comments about that too, because it's going to affect his ability to win.
Oh yeah, Barry's very upset, and you know it was an uphill road for Barry anyway, because Brooke Learman not only very talented, but yeah, you got the Democratic registration advantage in Maryland, and Brooke's very, very capable. Barry had his work cut out anyway, and then these two made Barry's path much, much.
Do you know what that number is exactly? The Democratic advantage.
It's
65-35. What is it?
I'd have to.
Is it 68-32? I want to get a real number.
Yeah,
on it.
I'll give it to
election.
You. I'll tell you what. Let me research that.
You do it.
And I'll
do
come back with. But here it is. In the state of Maryland, I've got it. In 2020, there were 2.2 million Dems and 1 million Republicans. So
that's 67%. Yeah.
Two to one. So really hard for a Republican. That's what made Hogan's win so significant. And it's interesting, rather than pursue the Hogan model across the country, and this is probably a good place to wrap it up, rather than do that, they've chosen to nominate pretty much insane people in gubernatorial slots and in senatorial slots. And I would just say, Nestor, as we get you back to your crab cake tour, if people are not paying attention to the Pennsylvania senatorial campaign, particularly the commercials, I mean, John Fetterman is having more fun with Dr. Oz and Dr. Oz, forgetting the name of Wegmans, talking about crudité. I mean, Republicans have nominated it.
He doesn't live in Pennsylvania.
Right. You saw your boy Stevie Van Sant saying, "Hey, Doc, Stevie VZ here. Come on home. We love you." I mean, that's what I'm saying. They are killing him. It's like the Republican consultants, the Trump world, the MAGA people went to the island of misfit toys.
No. The most misfit toy is watching Herschel Walker get endorsed by Kristi Noem.
Is that amazing? I mean, Herschel Walker, who can't put – well.
Herschel Walker's been a guest on my show, and I thought he was a little creepy when he sat down and did the show with me.
Great place to start next week, because I'm gonna pull out a Eugene Robinson article that said if Herschel Walker can win in Georgia, then democracy as we know it in the United States is dead. Let's leave it at that. You go.
Well, Donald Trump won a presidency, dude. I
understand.
Really.
I understand.
And we watched it. I watched it every day.
Hey, man, go O's. Let's go. I told you last week if they went 3-3 against Toronto and Tampa, I thought that would be a good sign. We shall see. Hey, real quick, before we get out, I know I was going to send you out of here. Once again, how wrong am I all of the time? That's why I never bet. That's why I never make predictions. 2 months ago, I said that Austin Hayes was the Orioles MVP, was really going to be, of the kids they've grown up, the star of stars. He was a five-tool player. I still love Austin Hayes. Nestor, he couldn't hit you and me for the past month. It's remarkable.
How wrong I always am. Yeah, he hasn't been up long enough to establish that. Look, they're better, and they're for real, and the next 6 weeks is going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. Go eat some crab cakes. Go say hi to all our friends down there at Mako, man. Give me a full report.
Don Mohler, former Baltimore County executive, joining us here, as always, on The Recon. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour all over the state. I'm back at home all next week. We're going to be in Eldersburg on Wednesday at Liberatore's. We're also going to be out in Westminster Rock Salt Grill next Friday. And we have confirmation. The next governor of our state, Wes Moore, will be joining us for breakfast at Costas on the 30th to end the tour. And then on the 31st, I'll be at BWI.
I might make a guest appearance at that. I might come over. What are we going to have for breakfast? A little crab cake and egg or what?
You know what? I've talked to Pete into making a crab melt for me. So we're going to have some crab melts.
There we go. Maybe have him order up two of them. There we go.
A little cheddar cheese on that. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.